As has been said, happy Mother's Day to those moms. Glad you could be here with us today. And if your mom's not able to be here, some of you may have moms who are home with the Lord, but we still honor and thank God for our moms. One daughter said, "Mom, what's it like to have the greatest daughter in the world?" And the mom says, "I don't know, dear. You'll have to ask Grandma." Here are some things that kids say to mom. "I'm hungry. I'm tired. Oh, mommy, I'm cold. I'm hot. Mommy, can I have..." And fill in the blank. "Mommy, where are you?" Here are some things that kids say to dads. "Hey, Dad, where's Mom?" Little girl asked her mom, "How did the human race appear?" Mom answered, "Well, honey, God made Adam and Eve, and they had children, and so all mankind was made." 2 days later, the little girl asked her dad the same question. Dad answered, "Well, many years ago, there were monkeys from which the human race evolved." And the confused girl returned to her mom and said, "Mama, how is it possible that you told me the human race was created by God, and Dad said they were developed from monkeys?" And the mother said, "Well, dear, it's very simple. I told you about my side of the family, and he told you about his side of the family." Well, as we think about moms here today, I'm concerned that we are living in a day and age when motherhood has been and is being devalued. Now, I do believe that all men, all mankind is created equal. And that includes women, which, by the way, that includes all races and skin colors, right? I do believe that women should have a right to vote. I believe equal pay for equal work. I believe women should have a significant role in the church and the family. But all that being said, I do believe that men and women are different. They're different physically, physiologically. They're different in the way that they think. Men think differently than women. They have different roles in the church. They have different roles in the home. Men and women are different. For one thing, a man can't be a mother. All right? Now, the world, our culture, is trying to make you think differently about that. The world is trying to make men and women equal in every way. You see it from sports to commercials to all kinds of stuff. The fact of the matter is men and women are different from one another. And that's not being sexist, that's truth. Women have X chromosomes, men have a Y chromosome. A disconcerting observation in mind is that more and more girls and women are trying to act like men. It started back with Adam and Eve. Eve tried to take the lead, and it's been a king of the hill battle ever since. And we know where that has gotten us. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Mankind was plunged into sin, and we are all sinners because of Adam and Eve's sin. Because of Adam's sin, sin entered into the world. And so you have this, we live in this context of sin, and yet that's what salvation is all about. That's why we have a Savior. That's why we need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. He died, He was buried, He rose again to provide salvation if you but believe on that, believe in Him for that. And so that's a reset for all of us. And all that I'm going to say today is really grows out from that understanding of the gospel. We need the gospel to get things right, to get our mind right, our hearts right. And if you are here today or you are watching online, listening, we want to help you with that because that's your only hope. Go back and listen to our Easter messages and leading up to Easter and know that hope and peace are found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. That being said, Again, we want to help you with that. That's behind all of this. But that being said, I appreciate and I think we should value the femininity of the feminine gender. Frankly, I like the feminine nature of a woman. I love the fact that my wife is feminine. She is sugar and spice and everything nice. She hates snakes. She doesn't like to get dirty. When I think of a salad, I think of bacon and ham. And you take those boiled eggs and you slice them and you put it all over the top with some cottage cheese and on iceberg lettuce. That's a salad. My wife, she likes all that scratchy, leafy stuff. And she puts fruit on it. She puts slices of strawberries and blueberries and mango. And then she puts raspberry vinaigrette all over the top. And give me ranch, you know. Give me some ranch. She likes all of that stuff. I call it the feminization of salads. But oh crud, I like it. she's turned my heart toward that. I still like the other, but I'll eat her feminine salads once in a while. But she loves pink. She makes no apologies about it. She's tender, she's loving and caring, she's nurturing, she likes hairstyles, makeup, painted nails, and jewelry. I like that. I love the fact that she's a mother and loves being a mother and a grandmother. She's Nina to her granddaughters. But my concern, again, is that motherhood is being devalued in our culture. Just this past week on the news, like Wednesday, I heard that the birth rate in the United States is lower now than it has been in the last 100 years. I think that's an indication that motherhood is being devalued. Just an indication. I'm sure there are factors to that. I didn't research all those factors, but I'm concerned that couples, that women do not want children more and more. And I think the abortion rate is an indication of that as well. You see, having a child or multiple children means taking on additional responsibility. And it doesn't give you quite as much time for yourself as you might like or think about. And a lot of people don't like that. They want to be free. They want to do their own thing and not be encumbered by children being around. It means saying no to self and a lot of personal desires. And yet, in Psalm 127, this is our kind of the focus passage. I'm going to be looking at some other passages today. But Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, we saw that during the video with the children a little bit ago. It says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them." Our daughter, regardless of what you think about tattoos, our daughter has a tattoo on her forearm, and it's two arrows, and she said, and it has her raising arrows, Psalm 127 verse 3, raising arrows, a continual reminder of her responsibility, her joy, her delight. To bring her children up to, as we have said, the training and instruction of the Lord, and to point them, to aim them and shoot them at bringing honor and glory to God. That's what we need to be about when we have our children. And when your children do that, they're a delight. And so start them young, right? Start them young. Start right now as we've witness these couples dedicating themselves, committing themselves to doing just that. So do you see the value in raising arrows and aiming them at bringing glory to God. If you're committed to that, as we read that Deuteronomy chapter 6 passage. You cannot pass on what you do not possess. So make sure that you are loving the Lord your God. If you want your children to grow to love God and serve Him, make sure you're loving the Lord in your life and serving Him and having joy and delight in that. And as you do that, you pass that on, and you cannot pass on what you don't possess. So make sure that is truly your heart's desire and make that commitment to do just that. And you might say, well, man, I've blown it. My kids are, they're already teenagers, or maybe my kids are grown or whatever. Maybe you say, you know what? You can start now. Don't put it off. Start living for God and pass that heritage on, that godliness on to your children, to your grandchildren. And if need be, say, hey, I messed up. I did not love God like I should have while you were young. And I ask your forgiveness, and I'm committing myself to do that just even now. Don't put it off, And you then can have influence in other children's lives throughout the church and ministry. That's part of being the church. We're a body. We function. I'm just so thankful that you've allowed me to be a part of this parent-child dedication, right? Because we're a church family. And I ask you to commit yourself to, as you have opportunity, to help and support these families in that, as you pray for them and as you have opportunity. I mean, think of our youth leaders, just how they're having an impact. Our children and youth leaders. They're just for those few moments on Sundays or Wednesdays, whenever it is, activities, they've committed themselves to be a help to you, not to take it. Don't say, well, I take my kids to church, that's good enough. No, they're a help to you, but you can't pass on what you don't possess. Starting to preach now. Sorry about that. Well, we want to look at some qualities, typical qualities of motherhood that should be honored. And by the way, the word mother is mentioned in the scripture 229 times. It's pretty good. Prayer is mentioned 114 times. Mother, 229 times. Now prayer is mentioned 114 times, and pray is mentioned 94 times. And so you can add all of those up, and it comes close. But I just wanted to point out that it's motherhood is a significant mention in the scriptures. So valuable qualities that mothers typify. The first one is, very obviously, they valued life, right? If it wasn't for your mom, you would not be here. Right? She valued carrying you in the womb and valued being willing to go through all that was necessary to go through in the birth process to allow you, to give you life. Now, I know God's in all of that. But in our culture right now, there are a lot who are not choosing life. Your mom chose life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You think of the miracle of new life and birth. I was thinking of John 16:21. It says, when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. Yeah, that's the labor that's involved. I remember that as I watched Teresa go through labor. And it says, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been brought into the world. And Teresa, when Candace was on her way, she was going through that intensive labor for hours. And then finally, the doctor said, she's not going to come. In other words, we're going to have to do a C-section. And Teresa was like, do whatever you need to do to get her out of here. And so into the operating room, and they had this little canopy here, and Teresa was just, and they kind of knocked her out, and she was, and so, I'm like wanting to see everything, and they're doing the surgery, and I'm like, oh, man, and the nurse goes, she said to me, she says, you're here to support your wife, and my wife said, it doesn't matter, and I said, man, I wanted to see everything, and here she came, man. And I we didn't have digital cameras back then, I wish I had taken a picture of this, but you know what? I don't need a picture. It's right here. I remember that sweet little girl coming out, just most beautiful little baby, and it's just like, and the baby's crying, and just laid on her mother, and just, it was so precious. And Teresa was willing to go through all of that to bring this precious baby into this world and the joy of raising our daughter. Almost 3 years later, she, carrying our son Chad, goes into labor, supposed to have another C-section, and all that's going on. They couldn't find the doctor or whatever, I don't know, but... So they said, Dad, you better get in here. You're going to miss it. And she had Chad like the pioneer woman. I mean, it was just like, okay, here he is. How awesome was that? And though there was all of the labor and the discomfort of carrying the baby and the labor and all that's involved with that, the joy of bringing those children into the world is just such a blessing. And moms, you know what that's like. I don't. I remember being there. But you know the blessing of that. And the pain is worth the joy. And I'm so glad my mom chose life. I wouldn't be here if she didn't. I wouldn't have two brothers and two sisters if she didn't choose life. By the way, my mom was able to be here this morning. So some of you were praying for her and have been praying for her. She was able to be here. So we praise the Lord for that. So, moms value life. That's a typical quality of a mom, rejoicing in bringing new life into this world. But another typical quality that we value in mothers is nurturing and caring. It's interesting that God has instilled that into moms. Very few moms need to be taught how to nurture and care for their babies. I mean, there's things that they can be taught, and here's what you do and how you do it, and nurses teach how to give the baby a bath and those kinds of things, but at least moms know the baby needs a bath, right? I mean, I even think back to when our Lucy dog had a litter of puppies. God just instilled into that dog what she had to do in order to take care of her pups. And that's a admirable, valuable quality that we see in moms as they nurture and care for their children. Just a few weeks ago, we had the grandbabies over, and Lindsay and Grace, and Lindsay's riding a pedal bike with training wheels and all, and she wanted to race Pops. Come on, Pops. So I said, oh, hey, here we go. And on your mark, get set, go. And so I got to teach her a lesson. She's not always, I'm not going to let her win. She's got to beat me fair and square. So I just tore off, and she just, just going away. And I run to the back of the into the garage and hit the back of the truck. And I'm like, yeah, and I look over, and lo and behold, she hadn't quite learned how to hit the brakes early enough. And I'm like, oh, I had visions of children's hospital in my head. I mean, I was like, oh my goodness. And so I go over and peel her up off of the ground, and she's going, Nina! I'm like, my chopped liver or what? I mean, come on, I pulled you up off of the ground, But they just, moms love, they care, they nurture, right? And kids, they respond to that. Mommies know best. Another aspect of the nurturing is the listening. That's part of the nurturing. Even now when the grandbabies stay overnight, man, when we go to bed, I'm out, right? Teresa hears every cough and whimper. He wants to check and make sure the babies are doing okay. They listen. But I also think back to when I was in high school. junior high, high school, I'd come home from school and mom would be fixing dinner and I'd jump up on the countertop and sit there while mom was peeling carrots or potatoes or whatever it was, and I would just talk. And she would listen. And she'd interject some advice here and there, but I just remember those precious days of mom listening to me and just letting me talk. And I think that's a valuable quality for moms, parents, especially through the teenage years. Just listen, get them talking. It's really important. And I just remember that, mom. That was a way in which she cared for me. And it's right there. I remember that. And I'm sure you've had those kind of memories as well of your mom listening. Another quality, though, that makes me think about that, appropriately during those times, but at other times, mom would teach. Teaching is a valuable quality. Proverbs 31:1 says, "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him." His mother taught him. I like the next phrase. You could read it various ways. The next phrase is, now this is the oracle that his mother taught him. "What are you doing, my son?" That's the next phrase. It's like you could read that different ways, couldn't you? "What are you doing, my son?" But she was teaching. Song of Solomon, chapter 8 and verse 2. "I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, she who used to teach me." Teresa taught our children how to read and write. We homeschooled up until high school. And that's one of the biggest delights that she has when she talks about homeschooling is, "I taught our kids how to read." And they love to read. She taught our kids how to do that. She taught our kids how to do laundry, how to do housework, how to cook and bake. My mom taught me how to cook and bake. I'm not trying to say that I'm, you know, master chef or anything like that, but, you know, I can measure flour and try to put things in the right order and mix it up anyway. But my mom taught me that. You won't believe this, but my mom taught me how to clean and dress wild game. I first opportunity I had to go hunting, I just walked out through the field with my .22 and got myself a groundhog. So I come back, you know, I got my groundhog, you know, throw it on the table there, and my mom says, "Okay, we're gonna clean it up, gonna have it for supper." Okay. Put enough barbecue sauce on anything and it tastes good. But anyway, my mom showed me how to clean the groundhog. My mom knew how to do it. She taught me how to do it. Been doing it ever since. Not just groundhogs, but I think that was probably the last groundhog I ever ate. But I had to eat it. You know, if you're going to kill it, you got to eat it. When I was just a little guy, went to church, got to thinking. That next day, mom was ironing, and I was coloring a picture of Jesus and the disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and had a boat there with the sail, and I'm coloring things in. Of course, I didn't know what color it was because I'm colorblind, right? I'm just coloring away, but I was thinking about some things I heard Sunday school the day before, and I said, "Mom, I don't want to go to hell." So mom shared the gospel with me, taught me the importance of what Jesus did by dying on the cross, that he did that for me, and that he was buried in the grave and he rose again, showing me that he was the Savior who could take away my sins so that I didn't have to go to hell if I believed in him. And right there, my mom led me to Jesus, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. My mom was a teacher. She taught me. She taught me about Jesus, the most valuable lesson a mother could teach. I think another typical quality that we see in moms is sacrificing. Mothers tend to be ready to give and willing to share. A friend of ours said she never understood why her mom loved chicken wings so much. Now, this is in the day before buffalo wings, you know. And so when you fix Sunday dinner and everything, her mom loved chicken wings. She didn't understand that until she became a mom, and she understood that after the plate went all the way around the table, everybody else took the thigh and the leg and the breast and everything, and all that was left was the chicken wing. So her mom ate chicken wings, make sure everybody else had what they wanted. And so our friend said, so I learned to like chicken wings. Willing to sacrifice, let everybody else be taken care of before she was taken care of. Moms just seem to take joy in seeing that everybody else's needs are met. You know, on the airplane when they say, you know, the seat belt and the buckle, and they say, and if the cabin loses pressure, the face mask will come down, and make sure you put your face mask on first before you help anybody around you. And I'm thinking, you know what? I doubt that any mother would put their mask on first before they make sure their child had the oxygen, right? That's just the way moms are. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. I think most moms do that. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, and by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's what Jesus did. And that's what he directs us to do. And that's what we see in so many mothers, willing to give of themselves. And when they do that, that's a lot like what Jesus does. Now, that being said, I don't know of any mother that says or thinks that they've arrived. I think another quality is that they're learners. They learn. They're learning. I have yet to meet a mother who thought that she had arrived. In fact, oftentimes, most mothers just humbly admit, I need help when they need help. Again, about 4.5 years ago, our daughter Candace calls her mom, Teresa. Mom, Lindsay burned her hand. I don't know what to do. What do I do? Well, what's it look like? Well, yeah, it's all bubbled up and everything. You better come over. Let's take a look at it. So she brought her over and took a look at it. Yeah, we better get her to the hospital or get her to the doctor and get it checked out. And so, again, the thought there is that if moms need help, they're willing to ask and learn about it. They're learners. They're not too proud to ask for help. Another quality, and this probably goes without saying, but I think we need to point it out, and that is mothers are loving. Mothers are loving. In Titus chapter 2, verse 3, it says, older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Verse 7 goes on. It says, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Mothers, women are to teach other women how to love their husbands and their children. It's something that seems to be innate, and yet there are ways that you can learn to pass that on. And you've experienced, many of you have experienced that. And we praise God for that, and we honor our loving mothers. So who can deny that? A mother loves her children. Now, that being said, I know that there are some moms that aren't all that they should be. And maybe you've experienced some of that, and that's where you need God. You know, we rely on God's provision through his word, and we sang about the presence of the Holy Spirit helping you with any of that love and comfort that may be absent or missing. But by and large, we have these qualities in our mothers, and we need to honor our mothers for these qualities, to value our mothers, to honor them, and express appreciation. We have this day set aside to do that. Let's do that. Honor mom. Tell her you love her. You know, it's interesting because some families, they have trouble saying that word love. I love you. Get used to that. And just be willing to say that often and mean it from your heart. Not just on Mother's Day, but every day. And so I encourage you to focus all of your attention on the Lord and how He has blessed you. Thank the Lord for a mom who chose life, brought you into this world so that you can live, and that we would live to His honor and glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these truths, these reminders, these encouragements. Thank you for so many mothers that are even here today that exemplify these qualities and do so faithfully. And as one of the points here was, no mother thinks that she has arrived. But I pray that you would still encourage them and help them to continue to grow and to be encouraged by biblical truth and the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that as a result of godly mothers, that we would see children grow to be godly and to love you and to serve you. And may that be our heart's desire. And if there's any here whose mom has either gone home to be with the Lord or not here, maybe not living for the Lord, that they would still take heart. Maybe find a lady that would be their mother, like a grandmother. But then there may be some ladies here who aren't mothers, but they can be mentors. They can be a blessing and encouragement to other children in the church. And I pray that would be something that would be multiplied in our ministry and through our ministry. So with heads bowed, just various ways this message may have spoken to your heart, I encourage you to commit yourself to honoring your mom and show her love, express your love if you have that opportunity and are able to do that. If you're here, you've never trusted Christ, we encourage you to come to Jesus today. And we want to help you with that. So we'd like everyone to fill out a connection card. You can fill out a card at the entryways here and place that into the offering receptacle. You can fill it out through YouVersion, through our website, through our digital bulletin. You can also give in those ways as well. Just jot down on those cards how we may be of help to you. Maybe there's a prayer request. Maybe there's a praise for a godly mother. And we just want to rejoice with you in that. But thank you for your faithful giving that allows us to continue to minister. It's just very humbling to see how you've responded to the faithfulness of the Lord and being faithful in your giving. So I encourage you to keep that up. Father, thank you for our time together. I trust this is an encouragement and a refreshment, but that all would be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.